Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Tim Yeo, who's Executive Chairman at Powerhouse Energy. How are you today, Tim?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm keen to know what the latest events are at Powerhouse Energy. What's your focus at the moment?
Well, our focus remains first and foremost on getting our first commercial plant built in the UK on the site in Cheshire, which is owned by our partners Peel, Protos we call it, and we're very pleased with the progress we're making there, and I'll be giving investors a full update on that at the beginning of June. And secondly, of course, although we've got 77 sites where we expect to deploy our plants in the UK, in the medium term, over the next 4 or 5 years, the real icing on this cake is going to be international, and there we've made a good start in Poland. We've got interest in other parts of Europe. We've got plans further afield in Australia, in Asia, and that's, as I say, where the huge expansion can come in due course. But first and foremost, we need to get our first commercial scale plant up and running.
And where are we on in terms of that? Is it sort of people digging holes frantically?
Yes, site works have started, and we're strengthening our team there. We've increased the engineering team. We're greatly focused now on project delivery and all that entails. And we're working to help our partners, Peel, reach final investment decision on the special project vehicle, which will actually build the plant in Cheshire.
And clearly, since the pandemic began, the silver lining for Powerhouse and all the green renewable ESG plays, do you think that that sea change that we've had in the last year is going to continue?
Yes, I do. I think we're at a very interesting stage globally, because there needs to be now massive investment to help the economic recovery following the devastating effects of the pandemic. And it's clear that in pretty well every part of the world, the emphasis on build back better, recognize that we've got to invest heavily in all the low carbon technologies which will help to address climate change, and that's becoming a bigger and ever more urgent threat. And we appear to have agreement now between the US, the EU, and possibly China as well about prioritizing that type of investment. I think from the point of view of a company like Powerhouse Energy, this is the best possible background. We are positioned to address the great environmental challenges of plastic waste, of bad air quality, and of the need for replacing fossil fuels with low or zero carbon forms of energy. We can tick all three of those important boxes.
I mean, there are other companies in your space, which especially in America, where everything has an extra zero added to the end of it. But in terms of the ranking, I mean, you're firstly a pollution remover with a plastic waste to hydrogen, but then you're also an energy and a hydrogen producer. How important is hydrogen, and how important is the contribution that you could make compared to other competitors in the field?
Well, hydrogen clearly is very important indeed, and we believe in most advanced countries that'll be where our technology has a big part to play, that we can also produce electricity in remote regions because our plants can be fairly small, and we can also produce heat, which interestingly in one of our overseas markets already in Poland, looking at district heat systems, a lot of old-fashioned ones from the communist era, they could do with a bit of updating. But hydrogen, I think, is going to be really where much of the investor interest lies. And the key thing about the hydrogen is, I think, as a transport fuel, it has the enormous advantage of displacing diesel for powering lorries, buses, heavy vehicles generally. Diesel is not only bad from a climate change point of view in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, it's also terrible for air quality. And in many urban areas, to be able to remove diesel-powered vehicles and replace them with hydrogen-powered vehicles with zero emissions at the point of use is an enormous step forward. It will lengthen the lives of hundreds of millions of people globally. So we're very excited about that. And I think that even people who still find climate change perhaps maybe a bit skeptical, fewer and fewer of those, but not necessarily their immediate priority. Everyone wants their kids to grow up in towns and cities where the air is as clean as possible. That has a direct effect on health and life expectancy.
But do you think that you've emphasized, you know, you've gone up with the rising tide of, you know, hydrogen and clean energy, but have you emphasized as a company how your DMG technology actually produces hydrogen in a clean way, obviously apart from the fact that you're taking plastic out of the environment, waste plastic out of the environment. Do you think you emphasize that enough? Because, I mean, the valuation of your company, let's say it's $200 million, is far less than companies that produce hydrogen in a, let's say, a dirty or an inefficient way.
Yes, I think that's a very good point that you've made, and it's very topical for us. We have commissioned an independent analysis of the environmental impact of our production progress, the carbon footprint, to use the jargon. We'll be able to publish that quite soon. I've seen the preliminary results. We will be able to demonstrate that by taking plastic waste, by putting it through one of our plants instead of sending it to landfill or exporting it or whatever, or simply incinerating it, we will actually produce hydrogen. And by using that hydrogen as a replacement fuel for diesel, the net impact on greenhouse gas emissions is entirely positive. In other words, by using our technology, the UK and other countries will be able to make faster progress towards these net zero targets, which people are signing up to all around the world with increasingly challenging timetables. So this is very timely, and you're absolutely right. So I think in the middle of a great and rather confusing debate about blue hydrogen, green hydrogen, brown hydrogen, grey hydrogen, every colour you can think of, what is necessary is we need technologies, which ours will be one, which actually help the world make faster progress towards net zero.
And just to make it clear, even more clear, the present way of making hydrogen is electrolysis?
That is a very popular method. It's very energy intensive and also quite expensive. It's, in the short term, that will require a substantial government subsidy. Whether governments are keen to put their hands in their pocket, that's not really for me to decide. But what is important that our technology, which is a UK-developed technology, it is economically viable without a subsidy. And we hope that when the government here in the UK publishes its hydrogen strategy, which it should do fairly soon, that if it's going to offer other people subsidies, that won't be done in a way which disadvantages people who expect to be able to operate without one. But if other people can collect a subsidy for producing hydrogen, we would hope it'll be a level playing field. But as far as we're concerned, we're ready to go. We're not asking for a subsidy. We want to be able to prove the concept as quickly as possible by building an operating plant here in the UK, which can then be rolled out worldwide. So this will be UK technology, which will have applications all over the world.
So looking forward, by, let's say, maybe this time next year or a bit after that, we'll be able to wake up and smell the hydrogen at Protos, or not smell it, given the nature of hydrogen. And that will be the first proof of concept for your DMG process. How soon after that would you then get the rollout all around the world and have, 100 plants here and 100 plants there? What's the time frame on that?
Well, first of all, even before we've finished building the first plant at Protos, we expect to be under construction in other parts of Europe, because we don't think we have to wait. As long as things are going reasonably according to plan, we don't have to wait to actually complete one before we can start on the second and third. But we're keen to do the first one as quickly as we can, because we've got 77 sites in the UK already identified by our partners, Peel, where these plants can be deployed. Now, the design of the plant allows it to be, it's modular, so it can be manufactured, built at scale in volumes very quickly. Once the concept has been shown to work, obviously the first of a kind, you need to do that, but then it'll be possible to produce these quite quickly. So our ambition is to have plants rolling out in the UK and elsewhere, not just in tens, but in hundreds.
So really, we're just months away from the inflection point on the whole powerhouse energy experience, let's say.
Months away, maybe. I would say we expect to be at that point in early 2022, so it's a little bit more than months away, but the potential is enormous. The need is very urgent, and we want to be in a position to meet that need with a UK-based technology and a worldwide application.
And speaking of that, the worldwide application, you're able to license out your technology. I think you've done that with Hydrogen Utopia so far.
That is correct. We're very pleased with the progress made by Hydrogen Utopia International, based in Poland, but with ambitions to scale up elsewhere across Europe. And they've proved to be very valuable partners for us. But one of the key points about Powerhouse Energy is that we are not a development company. We are a technology company. We will license our technology to be used by operators around the world. That minimizes the need for lots more capital to be raised. And so that will allow us to grow quickly without having to have recourse to our shareholders to ask for more money, because we will simply receive a license fee from those operators around the world who want to deploy our plants. Also probably worth mentioning, of course, as we refine the technology, we expect the productivity to improve. We've made our financial model based on plants that can produce 2 tons per day for the waste plastic they receive. But we're working, obviously, to be able to scale up the capacity of these plants, which in turn will make the economics for the operator more attractive and therefore should enable us to license more people more quickly.
Okay, on that note, Tim Yeo, Executive Chairman at Powerhouse Energy, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.